Wow, that felt like forever. I was watching the little spin cycle going on there. Anyways, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever, however you're listening to this. Hopefully you're doing well. Honored to be back today. Feels like things have been going very, very well. The baby girl of mine is now 2 weeks old and life just couldn't be any better. Not much to say about that publicly because I try to keep that stuff a little bit private, but just life is really, really good. And I'm beyond blessed with an amazing daughter, an amazing mom, amazing father, just amazing network of people all around me, family, friends, everybody that has just been absolutely amazing to my wife and I. And just life is very, very good over these parts, as well as the Common Crown stuff is going very, very well. So we will have new music out soon. All the instrumentals are done. So we got to listen to them together and kind of brainstorm. So Common Crown's going very well. This show, I'm honored that everybody's here. And my guest today is great as well. Me and him have become pretty cool over the last couple of weeks, which is very, very exciting. I did Nico House's show, who was on this show last week. I did his show on Sunday. But yeah, man, life is good. So there's lots to be grateful for and there's lots to talk about. So I can kind of get all this stuff out of the way now. So of course, go to Tiger Fitness at the link below to get all the supplements to keep you all jacked and tan. As you can see, I got all this stuff back here. I'm in desperate need to place an order on there. I'm running. I don't have any branched-chain amino acids and I could definitely go for some of the new pre-workouts. Just lots of stuff to talk about today as well. So my guest is a mutual friend of me and a lot of other people's, and I've been a fan of his show for a little bit, and I've liked all the appearances he's done. He also does the post-duopoly show with a bunch of people that I really, really like as well. So it's always cool that I get to kind of have these conversations with people that are considered, I guess, in the left lane of politics, which when I say left, it almost seems like a slur from my perspective because I'm so used to being around so many right-wing people that as soon as you say you're remotely left-leaning, they look at you like you got six heads. But these divides seem less and less relevant today as a lot of the issues that really concern people in the general anti-imperialist sphere become more and more public. We all kind of seem united behind these things. So that's enough rambling for me for this part. Let me kick the introduction and we'll get right into today's show. All right, let's rock and roll.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
And welcoming to the show, my friend Kit Cabela. How you doing, man?
Thank you for the privilege of having me on. And I really do appreciate this opportunity to not only collaborate with brand new content creators. First of all, I want to give a shout out not only to you, Kyle, but also to the Front Porch Conservative, who showed us on the other day, Arby Ham. And of course, good friend Daniel Clancy, who I've known for actually since 2020. So again, really good friend. My awesome Australian friend. I get to say I have an Australian nice. Friend there. So always great to collaborate with new people, and it's always great to speak with new people. And also let me say congratulations on being a father. Enjoy every second. Time is going to go by fast. You can have all the money in the world, but you cannot buy back a second. Okay. So cherish the moments, touch grass, live and love and seize all tomorrows. I'm so happy for you, and I wish you nothing but continuous blessings. Okay,
thank you, Kit. I really, really appreciate that, man. Yeah, it's been a hell of an adventure, and
it's only getting started, buddy. It's only getting started. Hell of adventure.
Started. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I remember she would hardly open her eyes, and now it's like her eyes are open all the time. I'm like, oh my god, and like her eyes are changing. She's changing, and I'm like, man, like. I get why what I had Scott Horton on last, which I'm assuming you're probably familiar with Scott. Yeah, we got off air and he was like, yeah. So like, when's your wife doing? Like, you know, we all know Scott Horton from talking about foreign policy and all this kind of stuff. But like when he was talking about his daughter and all this stuff, it was just like a completely different Scott. And like, I wasn't used to, it was very, very weird to talk to him about this. Not weird in a bad way, but like weird in a really, really cool way. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. like Scott has this whole other side that like people just don't get to see. One person that I want to give a shout out to as well, because the reason why I reach out to you is because I saw you on this person's show, is our mutual friend, Misty Winston, who's absolutely fantastic.
One of the dauntless few. She is one of the dauntless few and somebody that I have nothing but respect for. See, she's an actual activist, okay? She's not one of these fake people. She's real. She has really sacrificed a lot, and I know for a fact I could not do even a fraction of what she has done.
Yeah, she's one of those people who I think sees the best in all people that are in kind of like the alt media sphere, because you know you have like the alternative media that goes to meetings at the White House and cozies up to politicians.
Are they alternate? Are they really?
I once again, I think the three of us, you know, referring to me, you and Misty, would say no, but you know, us kind of like, you know, like you said, RBN. Some of my friends that are more in the dissident right in the libertarian sphere, you and I, you know, I think that Misty kind of looks at people like us and sees the best in all of us, even where we disagree on stuff. And we do have disagreements, but like, you know, we're all cool, rational people. We could talk about these disagreements, but as I kind of said in the introduction, there's a lot of issues that we all kind of come behind. So really, I we're already about 6 minutes in, and I didn't even give you a chance to really give an introduction to yourself. So, Kit, why don't you introduce yourself and kind of explain what Hardlens Media and you are all about?
Okay, no problem. Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me on your show. Hardlens Media started in 2017. I'm going to say we are Chicago's number one independent media network. We're on CanTV X channel, CanTV Channel 21, to be more precise. We're on X, Rumble, Kick, YouTube. We've been on radio, 8 years of being in the trenches. We've done documentaries about two toxic tours in Indiana, where toxic material and waste dumped into Lake Michigan, which is why you won't see me swim in it. We've covered corruption and protesters. We interviewed presidential candidates, political candidates, be they green, libertarian, progressive Democrats at the time. We've interviewed actors, actresses, directors, activists, organizers, journalists, breaking stories, breaking news. We've covered presidential elections. We have seen it all and been through it all, starting with the Galaxy S7 cell phone to where we're at now. And we've been through our fair share of bumpy roads with Chicago politics and Chicago media. And since then, our main goal is to build a strong independent media network here in Chicago and stand tall against all forms of adversity and stand against the censorship and termination and shadow banning and demonetization that I fear is now going to become very prevalent and impact us not only more so on YouTube, but on X, Instagram, Facebook, and yes, even on Rumble, Kick, and other platforms too, because I've been giving this warning that we are due for this massive gut check of censorship. And there's been a lot of people. Now, again, not major players, but, you know, people who I talk to in private who would dismiss my warnings. And, you know, I'm all for free speech. And to anyone who uses like the censorship system or think that it's OK to use, you know, just remember, it'll be used on you, too. And for those who cheerlead it, once you get rid of all your dissenting voices, who's going to be speaking for you? So that's all for free speech. And that's why I'm really upset with what's happening to other larger content creators who don't even cover independent media. But like, you know, like that Star Wars girl, her channel got hit. And it's for BS reasons. Like, I'm against censorship. I'm for free speech. I'm for supporting third parties and citizen ballot initiatives. And ideally, you know, I don't know, maybe make Chicago a better place. Maybe. But that's a tall order there. That's a tall order. And that's a little bit about what Hardlens Media is about. And just giving a voice to the voiceless. That's what I believe in. And till the day I die, this is what I love. This is my job. And boy, YouTube is putting the squeeze on all of us in independent media.
Yeah, it's really upsetting, because I feel like back in like 2017 and maybe even, well, probably 2017 might even be a little late, but like back when I was probably early 20s, so that would have been, probably like 2014-ish on, up until I would say like 2017, like early, maybe late Trump years, it seemed like you could have like grown a YouTube channel organically.
Yeah.
But nowadays it just seems like you can't do anything. Like, I've been doing this show for, it'll be 4 years in October. And like, I'm almost at 1300 subscribers, Twitter almost at 5,000 followers. And like, I feel like I've fought tooth, nail and claw. I mean, I've had some of the biggest names in like the political, alternative media on my show. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, like
no,
it goes
not
like
wrong.
Nowhere.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. When I've had quote unquote armchair generals tell me how I should run my show. And the thing is like, you know, when I have honest people ask me like, hey, what's it like running an independent media channel? And I'm going to, my response will be, well, what year? What year? Now, 2017. And the thing is, we have to remember, you know, we are seeing a lot of corporate media pundits right now get into our sphere, all right, our territory. When
yes.
you go back from 2016 to 2024, they mocked us, they ridiculed us. And there were many people in the media outlet who were jealous that YouTube was becoming a number one news source.
Right.
That were on board for censorship, doing horrific coverage. And let's not forget the first adpocalypse where they went after PewDiePie. Okay. Now it was because they were upset that these content creators at the time, before even I stepped involved, mm-hmm. you know, were popular, relatable, correcting the media for its mistakes. And the media right. in turn decided to up its power and decide to crush the voices there. And that adpocalypse was the first salvo shot, but I wish people were paying attention. Like, hey, you just been shot. You're not just bleeding out. We need to address this wound, but it's too late because you had the knee jerk cancel culture mindset in which, you know, you have individuals overreact because somebody used the wrong pronoun, made an insensitive yeah. joke 10 years ago, or maybe they're covering a story and it doesn't fit your point of view. Well, too bad. When I'm 6 feet under, people are going to have different opinions too. You and I probably have different opinions, but my response isn't to censor, suppress, terminate, file any kind of BS things on your channel or have other people by proxy do that to you. Like, no. No, my response is, okay, let's see our differences and debate. Otherwise, because if you're an evil person, then I'm going to have a problem with you. If you call to hurting another person, if you're calling for harassment or death or whatever, all right, I got to be careful how I even say it on YouTube, okay, because you got a channel here, so I'm sorry. But no, it's just, you know, it is, but that's the truth of it, because right now you have these ID verification laws, and I've been warning about this. I remember saying in 2021, like, hey, guys, this is going to happen. And so some of my nearest and dearest at the time did not believe me, you know, and it hurts because it's like, I've been warning about this. And now what? YouTube is going to tell you, you got to show your credit card and your ID just to engage mm-hmm. or be on a platform. I have lifelong subscribers telling me I'm not notified when your channel goes live. Mm-hmm. After November 5th, this has been very frightening for me. I've been seeing a full on stop for independent media getting views, a full-on throttle stop to where I have to say, like, is this being designed in a way so that people aren't notifying? Because there was the election cycle, obviously, but then this complete 180 where it is universal, and it's not just independent media, it's other content creators too, my friend. So you're spot on. Like, yeah, it's hard to grow a channel organically because YouTube, in theory, many years ago, used to be a meritocracy. Not anymore.
Yeah. Like I said, it's, I don't know what to do to really get push in an algorithm. And like, it's been frustrating for me because I look at other people who like maybe decide to niche in. Like I kind of look at more like the dissident rights sphere, like kind of these guys that are pro Trump in some ways that really decide to hunker down over in that direction. And it's like, man, their stuff blew up. And it always takes
organically.
Organic. Some of it seems organic, but also I'm like, okay, so I'm like this right-leaning guy. I still consider myself a libertarian, but I'm basically like, my politics are like that of Ron Paul, right?
Right.
Pro-life, anti-war, you know, as little government as possible.
That's fine.
That's pretty much it. You know, like if the vast majority of things should be out of the government's hands, right?
Right on.
And we want responsibility with the people and their communities respectively. Like, right. That's pretty much the basis of, like, how most libertarians, at least, like, in my world kind of think. And there's the more dissident right guys who look at more of, like, an authoritarian government, which I understand. I'm sympathetic to these arguments. But, like, I understand they blew up because they niche down. But, like, you know, it would be so easy for me to just be like, man, you know what? I'm big and jacked. Fuck seed oils. Vote Trump. Do all this stuff. And, man, my subscribers go right up, but you
don't.
Know,
okay, that looks like the easy thing to do. It's a honey. Yeah. It's that nice little drug. It looks like something you could latch on to. But the thing is, you notice that a lot of these big time red pill people, like the red pill like community, okay, there are, and to be clear, you know, there are people who do care about, like, hey, men's mental health, you know, because that's important, because we all, that goes including women too, everybody, you know, we need to take care of ourselves and learn to love ourselves. But there's a lot of people in this game who are snake oil salesmen and women. Yeah. Okay. And they, and the thing is, do they believe even a fraction of what they believe? And the answer is no. When many of these big time, quote unquote, alpha male, big jack dudes, when they start talking about family and how they run things, peel behind a curtain and you see a scared little child. They're putting on an act, and it's a good act. Sometimes it lasts a year or 2 years, but it all comes crashing down. Remember, you could tell a well-constructed lie. It's like building a house. But if the house isn't properly built, if the foundation isn't right, if the walls aren't right, it will come crashing down. Depends on how well you built that lie. It will come crashing down. So it seems easy. And see, the reason why it kind of upsets me too with some of these quote-unquote right-wing people who had got all the figgy pudding, especially during the height of the Biden years when cancel culture was almost done. Again, there's still cancel culture, but let's, from the 2016-2024, let's just put that time frame. This was like, so from 2020-2024, when cancel culture was finally getting socked in the mouth, you had the rise of a lot of right-wing influencers who were also latching on to the Epstein story, who were also latching on to the Biden-Harris administration and its failures. And the thing is, like, yeah, there was a way for traction, and there was a lot of momentum there for it, and there was a lot of populist agreement. Mm-hmm. But when finally the Uno reverse card happens and Trump sits upon the throne, who's left to fight? Like, what do you say now?
And right now, you see the absolute silence on the censoring when it comes to Israel stuff, which has been one of the most bizarre things in the world to me. Like, a lot of them will say, "Oh, they're not putting the woke away," but for some reason, when Trump says we need to keep Jewish students safe on college campuses, for some reason, 10 years ago, if you would have said we need to keep gays or transgender people safe on college campuses, everybody like, oh my God, you're so woke. Like, I can't stand this leftist nonsense. But if you say it about another group, all of a sudden, everybody just like turns their heads. And like, I'm not sitting here saying like, oh, you got to go on the timeline and juice bar. Like, I joke about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, why is it okay if we do this about a different group of people? And like, why aren't you calling that out on the right when they're saying we should censor people on the basis of criticism of one group and one people?
I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. This is what's called manufactured. Let me get this correct. This is a manufactured way to keep us in our own tribes, in our own divisions, and in our own perspectives and analysis without expanding our mindset of saying, hey, wait, we're being tricked again. See, before the internet became what it is, before the smartphone, before we had the Library of Alexandria at our fingertips, and this is the Library of Alexandria. You have the Library of Alexandria at your fingertips. Before all of that, you had radio, television, the newspapers, our schools, our institutions, and families, confirming our beliefs. But with the internet, everything is now accessible in a matter of seconds. And you could find people, your tribes, your bubbles, in which you will find safety and not feel afraid. And in turn, when you ever hear the person with the influence who has the big microphone or who has the algorithm and rhyme favoring them, you will be convinced like that is in the right and the vast majority are with you. When in all reality, it's just a way for the system to say, hate your neighbor, fear the other, don't trust anybody, and play along with the system again, and be sure to vote for us in 2026 and 2028. Yeah. All is safe, Team Red and Team Blue. It's phenomenal that people still fall for it. And my worry is, and I actually had a conversation with somebody who's on the left who is, you know, saying like, hey, I don't want to sound cynical, but like to these young people, like now I'm that old guy saying, and this is my friend saying, and I agree. I feel like I'm that old guy too, saying like, I've seen this before. You're going to get disappointed. Don't fall for it. And I want to tell Gen Z and eventually Gen Alpha, like, don't fall for this trick that you're seeing by the system, because it happened to me. And the words of my grandpa are also playing in my head too. Yeah, this is the first time for you, Kit, but I've seen this before. I've seen this before, and we have seen this before. And we cannot just let the person with the biggest microphone say like, well, I speak for everyone. No. That's why I love my audience, because my audience tells me, hey, when I screw up, they let me know. And that's what I want. If you have a microphone and you are blessed with the opportunity of having a platform, maybe having 10,000 subscribers or 50, 100, or God willing, maybe someday I could have 1 million subscribers. I would love it. I would love it. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I would love that. But when you have an audience that could also say, hey, you were wrong about this, and they could also challenge you critically or either that give you new ideas in which you can investigate, that's what you want, because then you're building a community. You're not dividing people, because what did I tell my audience in 2024? Vote however which way you feel like. I'm not going to tell you how to vote for. Go ahead. World's your oyster on this one. It doesn't matter what I say. What are you going to do? Either you don't vote or you vote. You vote Democrat, Republican, fine. You're helping out the two-party system, or vote independent. I always tell my people, vote third party, vote independent. If you're not going to vote, if you live in a citizen ballot initiative state, find out what the ballot initiatives are, vote for the good ones, stand against the bad ones, and c'est la vie. That's it. That's what we need to do. But it's one other thing. I know I'm talking a little bit too much.
No, you're good, man. You're good.
So hear me out. When you have a platform and when you are reaching out to people, you know, it's always important to know that they're in this space. There's always that competitiveness too, because now everyone wants the clicks and views and the drama and everything else. Everyone wants to be the top dog, when in reality, it needs to be an exchange of ideas. But everyone's afraid to step down from the mountain, okay? And then one day, I'm going to be dead. No one's going to give a crap about me because I'm nobody important. But what matters is what you leave behind, in which others can continue to build. There's always the top dog. Howard Stern used to be the top dog. I loved Howard Stern back in the day. Hell, I loved Opie and Anthony even more. You know, I remember them, the shock jock era. But there's always a beginning, middle, and end. Things do end. Right. And look at Howard Stern's legacy now. I don't even know who that shit guy lib. Is.
Yeah.
It's shit lib. Always threw it. I shouldn't swear, but it's your show. But, you know, I mean, that's what it is. And what I expect going forward, at least for my business, however long I can keep on doing this, is to build a strong community that, yes, can actively do things. And I tell my audience, hey, it's not me or me in telling you to do this. You might have to step up in your community. You might have to step up in your state. You have to be the person, not me. And don't listen to my words, but you know what's going on in your backyard. Fix it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that kind of pivots over into our topic that one of the topics I want to talk with you about today, because I know you've covered this quite a bit, is the Roblox scandal. So the reason why I say this pivots over nicely is because I feel like as a parent, if you're letting your kid play a game, and I don't think like the parents were actively like they, I don't think they understood this initially, but I'm sure once they did, they probably took steps to correct this. One thing that I see and I understand is like the raising your kids on tablets, right? Yeah. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying that that won't be me in a few years. But like, you know, if you let a kid live behind that and then they get into a situation like Roblox where there are legitimate predators on there, then it's like, okay, well, we clearly have a problem and clearly the parents need to be involved. Like Vivek Ramaswamy's one big campaign thing was like, we need to get kids off devices and all this stuff. It's like, okay, well, that's the responsibility of the parents. That shouldn't be the government that takes that responsibility away from people. Like, you need to be an active participant in your child's life and then, you know, make sure you're steering them in a good direction. Like, isn't this what like right-wing family values are about? Is that, hey, you're responsible for you and your community. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even think this is a right-wing thing, because a lot of what you were just saying was in the same vein, is that like, you're responsible for your community, your family, and you know, you should want to be involved so that way you can make sure things go to the best that they can, or at least the best to your knowledge. So like, why should we be banning cell phones from kids when it should just be like, hey, no, as an adult, I'm taking responsibility for you, because we understand you're a kid, you don't have full autonomy, and we don't hold you to the same degree of responsibility as we do other people. So we're going to help you through this. Exactly. So I know that's like a tangent, but what the hell's going on with Roblox?
All right. So first of all, obviously you're a parent, and here's the thing. I'm 40 years old. I don't know how old you are. I mean,
30.
Yes, 30. Okay. So you and I pretty much, if we rewind back the clocks, we can both remember, maybe, you know, in I know there's a time difference, but, you know, we remember a time before the internet became what it is. Like, we will be the last one. Gen X and boomers also had that privilege. Gen Z, maybe. Gen Alpha, no. No. Mm-hmm. So we remember an era before the internet. And as always, I think, you know, we had parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and guardians and older siblings say, hey, you got to be careful of stranger danger, all that kind of stuff. Same thing applies with the internet. But I think because we're we're all working 24/7, busting our butts for jobs that just don't care, or either that trying to struggle to keep our businesses alive. You know, we assume now that this technology can fit in for a flesh and blood human. And, you know, all right, here, put yourself in front of the screen and everything's fine. Mm-hmm. That's not the case, because there is real evil out there. The internet just didn't make more people come out. It's always been there. And I'm pretty sure you, as a parent, I don't know if you've done it or not. But when I was with one of my friends, we actually decided to check out if there are any predators. I want to be very clear here, keeping your channel safe. If there are any predators in their neighborhood, mm-hmm. my friend's face turned white with the absolute shock. And it's a real reality, because I'm pretty sure, I don't know if you're going to ever do that, but, you know, God willing that it's not there.
But thankfully, my wife and I, well, my wife actually more than me carries. So
yeah,
putting that one out there.
but it's also important to know that there are, like, it doesn't make things multiply. It's always been there. And that means this is a parent's responsibility, all of us now, to be really keep an eye out, like, hey, you're playing this game. Who are you talking to? Show me who you're talking to. You have to be that person. And it's not being a helicopter parent. It's like, are you talking to your friend Billy or Sarah or Tommy? Whoever, right? You want to know. You have to know, because that's what you got to do. So what's happening on Roblox is, yes, it's a very popular game. And there was a content creator going by the name of Schlepp. Now, there's a video which explains his story, but he loved Roblox. He loved playing games there. And unfortunately, he himself, in a video that he made public about why he got banned, he himself was unfortunately a victim of one of these scumbag criminals, predators. And, you know, that says a lot about him being involved and stopping it so it doesn't happen to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so what did he do? He actually used the system. In the video, he explained how he used the system to warn Roblox of these predators, to call out these predators, and Roblox did nothing. And yet Roblox wants to punish him for saying he's doing vigilante actions. I don't know anything about game developing, but I would think a rational person at Roblox would be like, oh my God, there's these predators. They found six of them. That's too many. And they're still there. Six of them. And he gets punished, banned, removed, and Roblox then threatening legal action against him.
Yeah.
That's the danger. That is a very frightening situation there. And thankfully people are speaking out, but there is the problem. Okay. And when I say problem, I want everyone to understand, I want to be clear on this. Yes, state, federal agencies need to stop criminal predators. Okay. We need to do that. What we don't need is the federal government or state institutions doing the laws that we see in Australia and the UK saying, all right, show us your ID to go online. Give us mm-hmm. your credit card information so you can access YouTube, so we can track you better. Because then all of a sudden you get more censorship, you get more suppression. And unfortunately, yes, protect the kids, but mm-hmm. do we give up our own sovereign right for free speech and the ability to talk about this? Because even right now I'm tipping on eggshells to talk about the subject matter in which mm-hmm. your channel could probably get hit. And again, I think I pretty much set it as safe as possible.
I think we'll be okay. It's so crazy to me, because, like, you hear about how great Western civilization is, and I'm not saying it's not, because it is. Like, clearly what we're doing right now is solely because some people came over here to America, did some abominable things, undoubtedly, but, like, that allowed us to create what we're doing right now. And the reason why we could speak out is because we have Western civilization right here, right now. That being said, what it is today is not what it once was. We always hear about how China is, like, this authoritarian place. And I always talk about this a lot because I'm very, very passionate about foreign policy and learning about different cultures, specifically like China, Russia, and Iran, because obviously these are, like, the big foreign policy goals. But, like, we hear about how China's, like, this authoritarian hellhole. But a friend of mine, Q Anthony Lee, who you might know, I remember him. He's been on Revolutionary Blackout Network a bunch of times. He left his phone inside a car, and he just moved over to China, I think, like, 6 months ago or so. And by the end of the day, they got his phone back to him. There, you know, his neighbors offered to cook him food and all this stuff. And I'm like, so we're supposed to believe that like the Asian continent is all these, you know, low life people who just view and do things completely differently. But like, I just keep hearing stories like that over and over and over again. You look at their cities and like, yeah, they probably look at people like if you and I went over there, we'd stick out like a sore thumb, right? I'm a Polish, Italian, Czech American with a bald head and a beard.
Italian, that's kind of my little mix up there too. There you go. Hey,
right. We'd stick out like a sore thumb though. So yeah, like if we went around acting like assholes, they would probably be like assholes to us, rightfully so. But yeah, like, you know, I wouldn't expect them to be, you know, completely warm and welcoming, but like, I would expect that, like, hey, if I'm not a dick, they're not going to be a dick back.
Yeah,
but exactly, like,
I agree.
Q is a he's a bigger Muslim man. I think he's like 6'3" or something like that. So I mean, he's huge. He's dark skinned, so like, he sticks out like a sore thumb. But yet, he goes over there and literally, like, his next door neighbor is like trying to cook him food and make him meals and
good
stuff like that.
Hey, I love that. But like, cook me food. Yeah, I love that.
Exactly. So, but we don't have that here in Western, you know, cultures. And you know, we're hearing how in the UK they're censoring people for stuff like you just said. And then we're, you know, Roblox is protecting literal predators. So like, once again, I believe Western civilization is phenomenal, but like, we're not upholding these values that we seem to hold so dear. If this is the situation, like if we have to even talk about the fact that a company here in America who's responsible for providing entertainment for children is complicit in protecting predators.
Yep.
Oh man.
Well, it's to me, I think it should not surprise us, because I'm going to tell you something that is going to enrage the audience and should even enrage any viewer and any parent. Corporations don't care. No. At the end of the day, they really don't care about any kind of legal situation, personal situation, political situation. At the end of the day, they're going to figure out a way to worm their way out, not care, not do anything. And just that's it. Like, corporations at the end of the day just do not care about your opinions or your feelings. And look at how Roblox went towards what they did to Schlep. It's either, hey, support Schlep was following their rules, but yet he gets punished. And then they do this cringe. I was going to do a video commenting on it, but I couldn't sit through all this corporate speak because they looked like robots the way they were talking. It's like, what made you three idiots think this was a good idea to post when there are people, young people, who are playing games like Escape from Jeffrey E's Island? There, I think I said that safe enough. Or oof, a bathroom simulator game. All right. And that's the, I think those are the safest ones I could actually say. So yeah, it is. So when you look at Roblox, like who's accountable, who's protecting the kids, who's actually oversight, who's doing oversight with the games, or either that turning Roblox to a 17 and up dating. There's that like dating simulator kind of game, 17 and up. But last I checked, in certain states, the age of 17, you're not an adult. You know, so right. I mean, I think universally, like, again, these are disturbing things to look at. And then all of a sudden, I'm reminded of how our wonderful members of Congress are dismissing the Epstein files. And in turn, also a lot of these big influencers who made a good nut, a big nut, got all that figgy pudding talking about Epstein from 2019 up until now. And we're not going to talk about it anymore. Yeah. We're not going to talk about it. So it child safety, these and again, people stepping up for Roblox, I'm glad that you are. But do you really care about the safety of kids? Or is this just more way of control and censorship? Because yes, Roblox needs to be held accountable for their mismanagement. Mm-hmm. But what else are you trying to do to the rest of us? Okay. And I mean the rest of us, like law-abiding citizens who want to hold these people accountable. Because what happens to people who legitimately, and there are content creators who legitimately hunt after these predators, okay, and expose them, and even expose law enforcement for failing to arrest these predators, okay, who go through the proper process, okay? I think Alex, I think I'm going to say his name wrong, but his Twitter account is I Fight for Kids, right?
Oh, yeah. Alex, I think it's Alex Rosenberg.
Alex Rosenberg. Now, he has gone through the process. He has filed through the steps, contacted law enforcement. Look, that look, I'm mad to say, somebody stronger than me, his will to not break their skulls. He's a better man than me. I'll say that straight off, right out. And how he does it, I mean, I would love to have him on my show talk like, hey, how do you wake up in the morning and just know that there's all these scum and evil, and that's the thing. But if there's more censorship, does that prevent him from doing a good job in exposing not only the failure of law enforcement, but that there's these monsters in these neighborhoods and communities?
Right. Someone, one of the people that follows you that came over here, Myron, they mentioned Myron Gaines. So,
he's awful. All right, dude.
So, go ahead. Because you mentioned people who like hunt predators on the internet, right? Mm-hmm. I remember Myron saying, I need to get so many likes before we go out and expose these predators. I'm like, dude, you're like,
he said holding... that?
Yeah.
Yeah, little beard Myron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I could remember the exact tweet, but it was something to the degree of like, if we get so many likes and we'll expose these predators live on air, I'm like, why don't you just do it? Like, well, yeah, like what the fuck's wrong with you? You're like essentially holding kids hostage for clout. Like, this is what the internet has done to people. Mm-hmm. We're going to literally like protect pedophiles for clout. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I need to get a certain number of likes. Like, dude, do the right fucking thing. Like, yeah. This is like the people who will like hand a dollar to a homeless person and sit there with their phone in their face while they do it. Like, no, you know what? Like, I've done charity work. I've given to a lot of people. I've done a lot of like what I would find to be good things. I just don't talk about it because like, I feel sleazy when I say that. Like, if I were to show the poster that's right here, I'd feel like a total sleaze ball, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, hey, look how good of a person I am. Let my actions speak for that. I don't need to tell you that I'm a good mm-hmm. person. So why are you trying to advertise to the world that, hey, I'm going to expose these predators, but only if I get enough clout? Like, come on, man. Fuck you.
Okay. So first of all, here's one of my guilty pleasures, and even my audience finds it confusing that I delve into this world, because even I think I'm the only person besides me, I think, because you already noticed, so I don't want to speak for you, but you know, at least I have delved into the world. And shout out to Dr. Nick, I think he's one of my co-pilots in the world of in real life streaming, where you see these big streamers like Fresh and Fit, you know, those two, Fresh and Fabulous, who are these, like, again, that whole universe is pure debauchery, stupidity, and ignorance. Like, the fact that they have gained the clout and also have tricked so many people into thinking, for at least for years, that these guys were like alpha male dating experts. You're telling people about traditional family values. Okay, now look, I'm on someone on the left. I believe in family values too, but you're talking about traditional family values of having a wife, finding a partner that will not only love you but be supportive of you, and you vice versa of her. But then you're talking about hooking up with hookers and porn stars and strippers and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden you say like, oh, we don't cuff them or marry them. And then you do. And then all of a sudden you have a baby. Okay. That's, mm-hmm. I think it was them. It was not Myron. It was the other one who,
Andrew Tate.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Andrew Tate. It was Myron's co-host for Fresh and Fit.
Walter.
Yeah, well, whatever his name is, whatever, that's not important. But like, they don't believe a lot of these big time people who are these red pill advisors. They don't believe in their stuff. They don't practice what they preach. And Dr. Nick says, yeah, Fresh and Fit in the closet. Yes, they are. And let's be clear, you know, that beard of his is living her best life. You know, I mean, because when I heard Myron Gaines, and I'm all for voices for speaking out for what's happening in Palestine. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, gee. Oh, great. Way to sink. You should not have that guy anywhere near stuff. I'm all for free speech. Yeah. But when you're talking like that whole in real life community, streamers and everything else, all it is clicks and views and clout. And I've ran into my fair share of people who want clout and that influence and all of that power, and they do nothing with it. They get it and then they lose it because they're not authentic to themselves. They're not authentic with their audience because they're snake oil salesmen. They don't care. They don't care because they want their next big money thing. And that's why you see a lot of these people crashing down. And it's hilarious to me because, well, that's hilarious. It's actually kind of sad because people are then wondering, well, who should I follow? And when you're on the platform, you shouldn't make the internet or an influencer your end all be all guardian or your advisor. You need to be a free thinker because there are times where I get things wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't want everyone to say like, oh, I trusted you, kid. I trusted you. Like, no. I tell you to look at other sources because there are days where I have to say, hey, guys, I made a mistake. I got to correct this.
Yeah.
And that's something Fresh and Fit can't do because they have that ego and pride. And also, I mean, they had a YouTube channel and then boom, it went down under. And they also had some problems with Kick and Twitch and everything else. All these people who build this brand, they get this big head, and then poof, it crashes down because you can't really trust what somebody's saying, because if they're all for clout and views, it's all about control and influence and finding the next thing and the next thing. Like you Andrew chase Tate.
The algorithm.
Yeah. And it's and the thing is, eventually, the more you chase the algorithm, the more you lose it, because there's nothing more the algorithm can give you. It's like it's like with Andrew Tate. Like, you know, he's talking about men's health and family values, but look at his past. Look at how look at all the stuff that he's done. Does he believe in that stuff? I don't know, but I question it. I have my doubts. And he could say something right. A broken clock can be right twice a day, but if he's still wrong about a lot of other issues, it's like, okay, how many people is he influencing? How many people are taking his classes, spending tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars or something like that, just to have somebody yell at you? There's this one guy, he's in Miami or something, and his courses cost like, I don't know, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands. And he's just yelling at you, calling you a piece of shit.
Wes Watson.
That guy, yeah. Wes Watson. And
the worst.
And he gets one of those. Oh God, why am I forgetting this kid's name? He had an OnlyFans girlfriend, and I would know him. I should know him now. He crashes a McLaren car, and Wes Watson calls this kid to be like a domestic advisor because him and his girlfriend were arguing. It's like, what the hell? Like, that's an alpha male. An alpha male. No, that's not. That's not a leader. That's a guy whose life is crashing around and the facade is breaking. When an alpha is a leader of his community and his people, but also uplifts people to be leaders as well.
Yeah. It's like the lowest knuckle dragger form of content, man. I can't stand those types. But kind of tagging on to the Roblox situation when it comes to predators. There's another predator that our government had seemingly let go. Oh, and it's so funny because a lot of the people on the right were all about protect the kids, right? Like, there was this QAnon adjacent style stuff. And like, I know people freak out when you say QAnon. Oh, it was nothing. But like, legitimately, like when General Flynn was taking like the QAnon pledge, I think there was a little bit more to this than people realize. And like, now I see like dissident right-wing influencers peddling QAnon style shit and saying that like QAnon was working with the Trump administration. What his name was, Tom Alexandrovich, Tom Artyom Alexandrovich.
Yeah.
He was a predator that was set up to meet with a 15-year-old girl, allegedly. Now, I know Michael Tracy's been talking about this, and he said that there was no 15-year-old girl. As far as I could tell, like, there are legitimate records of him trying to meet up with a child, and he was let go, right? And we're told that Trump was supposed to make kids safe again, but this is happening. And like you said, with the Epstein files, it's just kind of weird how we're told that, like, oh, no, there's no way he had a relationship with Epstein. But I'm like, if he was guilty, would he be doing anything different? And to me, no, I don't think he would be doing anything different. So what the hell's going on with this Alexandrovich, dude?
Well, this Alexandrovich guy, again, he was caught in a sting in Las Vegas, along with a couple other questionable individuals, including one being a pastor, in this long sting to expose these criminals and predators, stopping them from abusing young people. And yet, again, look, innocent till guilty in a court of law. Okay, there you go. Innocent. Yeah. Again, allegations. Okay, but you know, it makes me raise an eyebrow. But he's not in the USA and not in the great state of Nevada. Gone bye. And apparently, as it stands right now, Nevada's U.S. attorney deleted her X account. Mm-hmm. That was just posted by Nico House. So what happened to that X account? Why did Nevada's U.S. attorney, the AG, the attorney general, why did the AG delete her X account? Why'd you do it? Because the thing is, you know, maybe this is me being paranoid, and this isn't a left-right thing, because I think if there's ever a moment, all right, because let's look at it like it's a field, right? Everybody's kind of playing their own game. Everyone's kind of punching each other in the face like it's a bar, right? You know, it's like a bar fight or a fight scene from Super Jail, right? I remember that. I remember that TV show, right? Remember how those fights would get crazy? But it's the one moment where somebody blows a whistle and then everyone stops fighting and they work together. That's one of those things where left and right, everyone, time out. We can go back to fighting each other and debating each other, but seriously, time out. This has got to be a united effort that makes even Occupy Wall Street look like, oh my God, it's nothing compares. We have to unite on this because you have a government system that has turned a blind eye to child predation, that has right now has shown how it really feels about the Epstein files. For 5 years, you had a lot of influencers and politicians jump onto the Epstein story, and now we're supposed to drop it, forget about it, and I'm seeing it die on the vine in real life. To everyone watching it, if you're a regular civilian, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. You can be a Trump supporter, Hillary Clinton supporter, Green, Libertarian. Hear my words carefully. Are you really a good person? When you look yourself in the mirror, are you a good person? Now, if the answer is yes and you want to protect kids, we all got to work together and actually make this Epstein story once again come back to life, because there's another Epstein or Epsteins out there. Whitney Webb already said, like, hey, Palantir, why have another Jeffrey Epstein when Palantir is going to do it? So they're all blackmailing us. So the thing is, are we good people? Because if people in Congress want this story to die, they don't care about protecting kids. But if we are the people who we say we are, if we are all the good people, you could go back to calling me a communist or a Nazi or whatever. But right now, time out. There. Let's look at the real problem. And it's these politicians that are turning a blind eye to child predation. People were worried about Epstein. People knew about Epstein. When James O'Keefe did that story, and I don't think anybody could play that video now because you get hit with copyright, but he revealed that video. ABC had the story. They had it. It was right there before them, and they got a phone call. They got a goddamn phone call because ABC did not want to lose having a nice little interview with Will and Kate, the royal family. Well, last I checked, I think we won the Revolutionary War.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
There are no kings in Rome. Last I checked, unless Fermilab opened up another dimension and the timeline got changed again, okay? Mm-hmm. So in other words, what's stopping us from saying the loud part, the quiet part out loud, that we are ruled over by 6 sociopathic politicians who do insider trading? We've had presidents, Democrat and Republican, who knew the most prolific trafficker in international history, and everyone's supposed to now forget the story, and Miss Maxwell has a nice little prison cell in Club Fed, and I'm supposed to pretend the list doesn't exist? We are we the good people that we say that we are?
Right.
Are we? And that's a direct challenge. Consider that a slap in the face. You could be the toughest guy in the world, but if you'd be like, oh, well, bro, I'm going to trust Trump. He was talking about it. A lot of those right-wing influencers were talking about it. Mm-hmm. Everybody was talking about it. And I say this to someone on the left. I want to know who's on that list.
Yeah.
So we get out the heavy industrial wood chipper and talk about a great bonding moment for the whole country, left and right, using that heavy industrial wood chipper. And then guess what? Once it's all done, once all the monsters are slain, I promise you, it will be a Kit Cabello Chicago-style guarantee. We can go right back to fighting each other and calling each other stupid names on the internet. But for one moment, what a sight it would be if people actually did the right thing.
Right. Yeah, it's so crazy to me that they made that such an issue, and then immediately it just pivoted over to something else. Like, we're just not supposed to care about it at all. And it's also funny to me that, like, this also kind of gets us into the other topic I wanted to talk about today, that, like, the predictability of how a lot of this stuff was going to go with the second Trump term. To me, I'm like watching people in real time lose their minds. And please tell me if you've observed this too, but like, there were so many people leading up to November telling you it is a moral imperative that you vote against the Democrats. Mm-hmm. You are saving civilization as you know it. If you vote for Trump, you need to vote for Trump. Get out there and vote for Trump. This is about vengeance. This is about saving America. Western civilization is doomed if you don't vote for Trump. I'm sure you remember all these people saying that, right? there were so many people saying this. The people who were like, hey, you know what? He's better than Kamala, which I actually do agree with.
I would make that argument too, because here's the thing. At least his campaign website actually had policies. It took her, what, 52 days to actually have policies. I play this game with my audience. Has Kamala updated her campaign website with policies? No, but we saw a lot of cool merch.
Yeah. Well, so the people who are just kind of like, hey, yeah, you know what? I'm throwing my vote behind him because I find him at least to be better than Kamala. I can understand that. But the people who are telling you that, like, the world was going to end as we know it if we didn't vote in Trump, and then now they're turning around like, oh my God, he bombed Iran. Oh my God, he armed Ukraine. Oh my God, he's not releasing the Epstein files. Oh my God, he believes that Epstein killed himself. It's like, dude, he said all this stuff way in advance. He said his idea to end the war in Ukraine was to send them more weapons, which, surprise, surprise, didn't work. He said there will Iran can't have a nuke. And by nuke, he means nuclear enrichment. And that he would bomb major cities in Tehran if they continued enrichment. Okay, well, he did that. And then with the Epstein stuff, when he was interviewed by Tucker let it go. Trump was like, yeah, I think Epstein killed himself. And he let it go. Right. And I kind of like Tucker sometimes, kind of don't other times. And then, you know, Cash and Dan Bongino. Oh, we have the list. I've seen the list. We're going to talk about it. And then as soon as
I saw them speak and say, like, oh, no, he really did ice himself, self-delete. And I'm like, you got some marching orders from Commissar Hans and Deputy Fritz. You got to follow the orders.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, dude. The people who told you it was some giant imperative to vote for Trump, and now they're like, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing everything that he pretty much campaigned on. I'm like, were you stupid? Were you not listening? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's what it is. And this is why it's important. You know, when I saw Tulsi Gabbard and RFK Jr. and Dan Bongino, and I'm thinking like, you have the power to, you have more influence outside than inside the throne room, because the office of presidency, yes, Trump, I would say I could make an argument could be made that he's more in charge instead of having so many handlers. Yes. Does he have handlers? Yes, absolutely. But he's a little bit more, air quote, maybe a little bit more freer to do things he wants to do. And that's right. Again, but the office of presidency isn't like how it once was. I would make the argument our last great lion was probably maybe JFK, and I don't want to make him into a saint or anything, but he was probably our last great lion to sit upon the throne, possibly our last great lion. But when you have this administration and you have this record of also having a voice, you give up that power. And I look at Dan Bongino, who did countless, he's one of those influencers who and built a strong podcast talking about the Epstein story. You had the influence, the algorithm and rhyme. I mean, you're more powerful to say, hey, Trump, you ran on this promise, you know, and I'm done. And you can call him out, but because he's got that job in the White House, he's got to follow orders. You gave up your biggest power. You know, there are people saying, oh no, Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson will be part of the Trump administration.
Ah!
Yeah. Yeah. No. Why would they give up the power of the microphone to be at the subservience of the administration and the handlers? You see, and again, yes, influencers and podcasters have handlers too. All right, to be clear on that, that's a very real thing, extremely real. But when you have the power of saying like, hey, this is wrong, and then all of a sudden you do a 180, I call BS. I'm supposed to pretend that the last 5 years meant nothing. All the times I talked on my freaking channel and my video got limited or demonetized or taken down if I brought up Epstein or Assange or Snowden.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just supposed to shut up and be a good boy. No, I don't think so. And it enrages me. And it enrages me how a lot of people are accepting this now. I'm seeing the Epstein story die on the vine. I'm seeing it die. So again, my question is, and I'm yelling out to the ether, to everyone across the United States, red, blue, East Coast, West Coast, North and South, big city, small town, are you really a good person? Would you really combat evil? Or are you just chicken? Will you just bow your head and be like, okay, you can take care. You could take advantage of more kids. More kids will be trafficked, as long as it's not mine. Nobody's kids should be trafficked. Evil must be opposed. So you have a president, President Trump, who knew Epstein. Bill Clinton also knew Epstein. They both knew him. And wait, Bill Clinton went to Trump's wedding. Oh, and how else can I forget? Oh, the big thing. When Trump gave away the secret sauce that should have united the country. When money and politics was brought up in the first Republican 2016 primary debate. I give these people money and they do what I say. And that means Trump used to be a Democrat. He gave Hillary Clinton and all the Democrats money and they did what he said. So in other words, it's a big club. Thank God you're not in it. But why is it still ruling over us? We know what's wrong. We know the problem. It's not your neighbor. It's these scumbag politicians. And yes, even these influencers now and major podcasters and corporate media who are doing cover shot, protecting these people and telling us to forget about it. Charlie Kirk saying, I don't want to talk about the Epstein file. Why don't you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
There you go. So,
yeah. What the hell's going
on? I ranted. That's a rant. That was a rant. I'm sorry. My bad.
No,
my
dude, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, it's very confusing to me because a lot of these people made a career out of it. And all of a sudden, oh, it's not important. Yeah, I got questions about Charlie Kirk. Like, he frustrates me in a different way because I will never forget. The day after October 7th, 2023, I'm sure everybody remembers that day pretty damn well because the whole world changed in that moment. I remember, you probably know him as well, Kyle Anzalone from antiwar.com, Libertarian Institute.
Yes, a little bit, yeah. He hasn't been on my show, but I'm familiar with him.
Yeah, so I remember getting a message. We have a group chat together with me and a couple of the other guys from antiwar.com and the Libertarian Institute. Mm-hmm. I remember Kyle saying, what the fuck is going on in Gaza right now? And then little did I know that, like I said, the whole world was going to change after that moment. Like, everybody was going to be looking at, like, you know, oh, this is what Israel is about. Like, I think people like us kind of knew it was bad, but like, I don't think the world was ready to be like, wow, this is a very depraved society.
Well, what happened in Israel, here's the thing. You have Netanyahu. Yeah. Everyone talks about October 7th, but let's talk about the day before, the week before, the month and the year before October 7th, 2023. And that is, you know, hey, Netanyahu and his administration and government were having a lot of corruption probes, and you know, his government was falling apart. It was failing. All right. And Netanyahu didn't look like he was in a good spot. And what better way to have a big old distraction than a wag the dog, walk the dog kind of moment and say, oh, we're in a war. And the goal is to avoid all this criminality and legal jargon, legal BS as much as you can. So you can guess what? Swim on by and hopefully all go away and keep the war going on as long as you can. Oh, war in Gaza, occupation of the West Bank. Oh, gotta have do some strikes in Lebanon, strikes in Syria. Oh, Assad is now gone. Oh, political instability in Syria, Yemen. Oh, Iran versus Israel. Yeah. What laughs and jokes in a swell good time? And the thing is, it's all civilians. Okay. Because here's the thing, I don't want to see anybody die. I really don't. I hate seeing people get hurt. You know, unless it's an evil person. Then okay, I'll make an exception. Or if it's a real entitled scumbag, right? And everybody can change. But I would just say, hey, this war, it's only being allowed to continue on because our politicians are allowing it, because we have no real representation. We are technically a constitutional republic. We call ourselves a democracy, but we're not. We're an oligarchy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are. And right now, our politicians have been paid to shut up. That's it.
Right. Yeah. Well, speaking of people shutting up, was what you all brought up there was completely valid, because I remember Charlie Kirk was on Patrick Bet David's show and he was asking questions about October 7th. He's like, well, what happened on October 7th? It seemed like a security failure. Asked all these questions that were reasonable questions. And then all of a sudden, literally the next day, this dude is apologizing live on air and goes on a full Hasbara tour. Like, dude, you could have waited like a week or something and people might have let it go. But like, when you go the next day, you know, your Zionist handler is,
phone call.
You got the call.
Hello?
Yep.
Oh, wait, you're going to take away all my advertisers? The algorithm? Oh, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's probably what happened. That's, you know, and the thing is, you know, when Charlie Kirk did mention on Patrick Bateman's show, you know, and again, I got my criticism of everybody, but the fact that he mentioned it, he talked about like, yeah, these are real legit concerns, because there was an article done by the New York Times that talked about, hey, the Israeli intelligence services were told that something like this would happen. And you have all these big walls, all these towers, these cameras, surveillance drones, everything else. And yes, anything can happen, because life is always is a crazy ride. But how did you not see this coming? How did you not see this coming?
It was a choice.
And the thing is, there's always a choice to end it. But at this point, what we are witnessing here is, unfortunately, the end game. And the end game is going to be the full-on occupation. And no politician is going to stop it. And the Freedom Flotilla, I want to be clear on this, because I was getting some pushback about my thoughts on the Freedom Flotilla. Yeah. Okay. Dr. Nick, yeah, no, you, Dr. Nick hit the nail on it. That's the correct one, actually. Oh, you got some material on me? Uh-oh.
Yeah,
maybe not old Charlie, but there's a couple other people, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's always that issue. But what I worry about is that now that this war is going on, and I want to be very clear on this with the Freedom Flotilla, is that I think in concept, yes, bringing awareness towards what's happening in Gaza is a correct thing to do. But when I see it being turned into like a mini celebrity boat ride, and we're going to get arrested by
a brand building exercise,
feel good points and everything. Now, look, you know what happened to Chris Smalls and everybody else in the second one? I don't want anybody to see you get arrested or hurt or anything like that nature. But again, I'm for bringing awareness. But bear with me, Kyle, and maybe you'll push back on this. But what if that boat made landfall? You're talking about people who are starving. Now, Kyle, you're a parent. Mm-hmm. Your child is starving in your hand. May that never happen. I'm willing to bet you are going to club every single person, even if you've known that person for decades, years, just so you get the front of the head of the line to get a baby formula, food, medicine.
Well, if you do it in Israel, you get shot.
Yeah, but the thing is, imagine that boat didn't make landfall, right? That boat is only have a certain limited amount of supplies, people hearing about it. I don't know how I would react in full-on desperation. None of us know, unless we've really been through the gauntlet. What would happen to that boat? What would happen to those people? Because then my paranoid mind is thinking, was that boat at least stopped just because, like, okay, and it's all a show? Because again, I'm not denying that, again, maybe people's hearts are in the right place, but I've seen my fair share of fake things on the internet. And I don't want to call it fake, all right? But it's just like, what if the boat did make it to shore? What if the Israeli Navy just said, all right, park your boat. Good luck getting offshore. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, you've had people who have literally had a genocide inflicted upon them. And that, you know, now there are just countless reports, even IDF soldier reports talking about how they're literally shooting people who are starving when they're going for food. I mean, just the absolute most abominable stuff. All you have to do is go to antiwar.com and you could see sometimes like, yeah, they killed like 100 people in a day. Like just like it's not that 83 people today, 97 people the day before, you know, 78 people, you know, 2 days before that. So, you know, if they're slaughtering people left and right, and when they're going for food because they know they're starving, they're celebrating when they get to shoot them, those people are in rough shape. So how are you supposed to, like, if you're that person that's starving and you're getting shot at just when you're trying to go for food, if you saw a boat coming in, like you said, with supplies, I don't know what I would do in that situation, because guess what? Hey, I'm starving. You know, if my baby was malnourished to the point that it might die because I can't produce, you know, my wife can't produce enough formula.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. At a certain point, it's like, I got to get mine, man. Like you guys are healthy right now, but we're not. So I'm sorry. My survival is going to take, you know, precedent over your little brand tour that you're doing here.
Yeah. Or the little girl getting water, you know, or seeing anything like that. And the thing is, like, look, again, I want to be clear. I think bringing awareness to what's happening in Gaza is a correct thing. I think unfortunately, I think comedian Bassem Youssef was correct like a year ago. He said like Israel is going to get away with it. And I think, unfortunately, I hate being that person. Like, oh, if we do more protests. Well, I remember the No Kings March. I didn't see any Liberate Gaza or, you know, Stop the Genocide in Gaza protests. I saw everyone just saying, let's be against Trump. Again, the boat idea, the fleet's there, the ship's there, going there, dropping off supplies, it's fine. But what if the Navy, the Israeli Navy, just said, all right, land on in. What's the site security going to look like? Because I served 4 years in the Marine Corps, okay? Always, when you're doing any kind of patrol, any kind of thing, you want to make sure you got a perimeter security. Does that boat have security? And if the people start getting desperate, okay, guys, like, uh-oh, they're getting angry. Uh-oh, they might take the boat. Uh-oh, they're like, people are furious that we don't have enough food. We got to get out of here. You know, because you don't know how people are going to be emotionally reacting when they see supplies coming in. And, you know, you got that primal aspect of getting mine so I can make sure that my grandma or my child or anybody is safe. So that's where I question, half of my mind questions the Freedom Flotilla, not because of malice, but because, is this just a Hollywood trick? Is this an internet trick? Is this an influencer trick? And the thing is, my heart says no. But if it's just all just a game of where, okay, they're going to get arrested, clout points, get 15 minutes in an interview on CNN or Fox News, their name is boosted in the algorithm, and then you do a whole other project. That's it. What about are you for the people who were arrested this time around? You're going to go right back on the boat again? If you mean it, get more ships. Go back on. Get arrested 20 times, 30 times. If you love it, it's like that. Wait, hold on. I'm ranting here, but
no, you're good. You're good.
It's like that scene from the 2005 film King Kong, where the boat is leaving the shore, and the guy says, "I love the theater. Why am I here?" And Jack Black's character says, "No, you don't. If you loved it, you would have jumped off the boat. If you really do care about Gaza, all these people who got arrested, including Greta." Even if she gets arrested 20 times, 30 times, you're getting right back on another boat. You're going to get two boats. You're going to get 30 boats. You're going to get a whole armada. You're going to get a fleet of 100 ships. Mm-hmm. Do it. And it's easier said than done because I'm being an armchair general, but do it.
If that's again, what you really care about.
Yeah. But then again, if you are going to be making landfall, oh, you better be ready to see humanity in its primal form. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know the desperation of a father or a mother. Or use that maybe a son to save their family, a daughter to save their family, a grandfather to save his family. We don't know. So that's the thing.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's some of the most depraved things in the world. And it's just live stream 24/7 for people to see. In other not so bright situations, the war in Ukraine and Russia. Trump and Putin met, and I want to be clear that I think that's an undoubtedly good thing. And, you know, maybe people disagree, but I don't think Kamala Harris would have been as willing to meet and sit down and talk with Putin as Trump is. I think that's a good thing, but it does seem like Trump is doing the usual Trump thing of completely stepping on the rake and fucking everything up completely unnecessarily by continually saying we're going to provide Ukraine security guarantees. He and like people would tell me with a straight face before Trump got elected, we had to elect Trump because he was going to end the war in Ukraine. Okay, here we are 7 months later. Mm-hmm. He's given them the same exact, you know, weapons through the same exact means that Biden did, the presidential drawdown authority to send $330 million worth of weapons over to Ukraine. They haven't lifted any of the sanctions. Russia still has, it's over, I think it's over 36,000 sanctions on them. And they got this minerals deal where now basically like they can get minerals from Ukraine and they'll get weapons in exchange. And now he's saying that the EU has to step up and give NATO Article 5 style peace guarantees or security guarantees, I'm sorry, to Ukraine, which is the exact reason that the war started, is because NATO encroachment and security guarantees from NATO. I don't know how people are still like, oh yeah, he's gonna figure this out. This is like, we're almost now where we are more involved than we were under Biden at this point, and we're just being told, oh no, it's fine, he's gonna figure it out. Putin's not gonna go for this. So I know I kind of laid that all out there and ranted, but yeah, Kate, your thoughts on everything that's going on?
Well, I would go on to say, first of all, look, I want this war to end. All right, I want this conflict to go on any more so than it has to. I think the conflict is ridiculous. The amount of treasury lost, the amount of lives lost, people forever scarred by the horror of war. And, of course, the ever-encroaching threat of WW3, nukes being dropped, mushroom clouds in the sky, and a wall of fire, and be like, hey, Kyle, what are you doing here? You live in a different state, right? Right? Because all of a sudden, I don't want that to happen. I think, yeah, there's a lot of potential for a Trump-Putin peace deal, but it matters, again, of what everyone's going to say. Who's going to want to get involved? Who's going to want to, you know, make sure that people are going to be doing the number one thing, and that is talking, speaking to each other, and coming down not to a ceasefire, but to a full peace agreement, okay? The war zone in Ukraine has gotten out of control. All right. And I blame the Biden-Harris administration. In fact, I hold the Biden-Harris administration primarily responsible. Yes. But if we want to go back in time, I really hold the Obama administration responsible for igniting and causing further troubles for the people of Ukraine, especially with the infamous coup that took place in Ukraine under Obama's administration. So, and again, did Trump fix anything under Obama? No, because the kids in cages created under Obama. Oh, Trump found it. It was like that when he got there. So it's a continuation of Democrats and Republicans playing this game. You know, people want to say it all started in 2022. No. This started years ago. So if there's going to be a real peace deal. I don't want to say ceasefire. Peace deal. Everyone has to come down to the conclusion of that no one's going to get what they want. And everyone needs to smile and take a bite out of the crap sandwich that everyone collectively made. But again, when war profiteers want to make money, okay, you can end the war in Ukraine, but we're going to find another theater, another place to sell weapons. I mean, look at the amount of weapons that we gave to Ukraine. I mean, some of the stuff didn't even work. I remember when CBS did a documentary about the weapons being tracked, and they had to take that video down, didn't they? So it's all more of like, okay, great. Yeah, they're talking. Fantastic. Will it lead to de-escalation? I hope so. But tomorrow the war will still happen. And the week after, and the months after, unless people are prepared to really put their foot down, because you got Trump, he's a polarizing figure. You got Zelensky, polarizing figure, and got Putin, polarizing figure. No one's going to be happy. No matter how the peace deal turns out, no one's going to be happy. And then there's people who's like, oh, what if we kept on fighting on longer and longer and longer? How long does this war need to go on for? It's all because of people making money.
That's right, why. Exactly. And you know, this is in Trump's lexicon, too, of choosing arms deals over a peace. So I want to say it was in 2019 that a vote was put before his desk to quit sending weapons to the Saudis to stop literally genociding Yemen and creating the worst cholera outbreak in recorded history. And Trump chose to continue sending them weapons because it made the U.S. lots of money. Trump has stated before that he knows that Ukraine cannot win against Russia, which is pretty obvious to everybody. So why would you send in more weapons if you know they can't win? Because that to me is literally just prolonging the suffering of everybody involved. And to me, that is straight fucking evil. If you know that more people are going to die as a result of this because you know they can't win, and you're choosing to continue to stoke the conflict instead of trying to negotiate, I'm sorry, you're complicit in those deaths at that point. Absolutely. And no right-wing people will fucking call them on it. And it is so frustrating to me.
I think not only is it frustrating, but it should be infuriating to people who feel that this is the best shot that they have in regards towards what? Trying to bring in peace, trying to, you know, I think, again, like, again, if you are a full-on Trump supporter, you know, you need to look at what your guy's doing.
Right.
And if he can't follow through with a campaign promise, then clearly, you know, welcome to the club, because I know that all too well is Bernie Sanders and the progressive Democrats. This is who they are. Simple as that, you know. But that's just my heart going into it, you know. So yeah. I know. I should be a little bit more optimistic. I should be more optimistic, but I'm pressing X to doubt if there's actually going to be, you know, any kind of real peace in our time. That's how I feel right now.
You know, I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but I keep looking at all this stuff and I'm like, dude, it just, I don't know where, like, I think things will turn out okay eventually, but once that eventually, like, I think about what kind of world is my daughter going to inherit? And this is why, like, when I hear people say, no, who cares about the debt? We just need to fix this right now. Like, I kind of care about, like, the purchasing power that my daughter's going to have in the future and that, like, I have to pay for my kids with. Like, we can talk about deportations and all this other stuff all day long, but, like, I don't know. We also kind of need to – something needs to give eventually because, like, you might have seen the Sagar and Jetty post where I'll try to get these numbers loosely correct, but the median household income brings in about $5,400 per month after taxes. Average mortgage payment is about $2,200 a month. Now, thankfully, I am way, 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 way below that. He listed some other numbers, but, like, okay, you are, let's say, 10 years younger than me, 20 years younger than you, right? So you're a 20-year-old kid, and you have the same aspirations I do, right? Own a car, own a house, have a family, work a good job, whatever you want to do, right? The basic American dream, as we would call it.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you, as a 20-year-old kid, supposed to live a prosperous life and have a family when you have to go into massive amounts of student debt, and not just for college anymore? I mean, like, VOTEC school, secondary education is very expensive still to this day.
Yes.
So you have to go into massive amounts of debt to get an education. You get a job, and the average income in most of the country now is like 60 grand a year, right? Which, if you're a single guy, 10 years ago, that was good enough. Nowadays, that's you're not doing too well. And then if you have to pay $2,200 a month for your mortgage,
yeah,
and a student loan that you pay multi-hundred dollars a month, and you got a car payment that's anywhere from $300 to $800 a month, and you have all your bills on top of that, which probably go anywhere from $500 to $800 a month. We're not even at groceries yet, and we're at like $3,000, right? Exactly. And this is just like to just survive at minimum.
Okay, I'll tell you what the plan is. It's okay. Yeah. First of all, you had these politicians in power for decades at the state and federal level. Okay, so they're from a different time in America. Okay, they're from a way different time when there used to be manufacturing labor, and you could work at Sears retail and provide for your wife, your son, your daughter, and your child on the way, your dog and your cat and your pet goldfish, okay? But that world is gone because those politicians, being in power for decades, corruption, money, abuse, as well as the increase of lobbying groups, the influence of Wall Street and the big banks, created an environment in which there is no room for that at all. And the thing is, this is how an empire declines. What is the death signal of an empire, of a nation? It's when the people give up on said nation. And an argument can be made, is Congress a real legitimate ruling body over us if they have allowed their people to go into starvation and debt this much? People ask what led to the fall of Rome, you know, and I like to joke, oh, it was Germania. No, it wasn't Germania. It was the Roman Senate and the emperors. It was the ruling class that let their currency become debased. It was the ruling class that let the nation die within. And sadly, the Roman Empire, it's not the only empire. It happens to all of them. Starts with a big bang and dies on a whimper. That's what happens to all these nation states. And unfortunately, the United States, right now, we are a global superpower. We are the richest country in the world. But everything comes crashing down in the end. And this is where, again, the people have to ask ourselves, are we good people? Are we, you know, the thing is, it's easy to say we need to go out there in the streets, but it is that moment to where, do we just let this abuse happen to where we can't do anything or say anything, or do we finally speak up and say no more? Because what's ruling us, what is governing us, doesn't work. You know, I served 4 years in the Marine Corps. I had the Illinois Veterans Grant and the GI Bill. I don't have any student debt. That's a miracle. Okay. I'm happy for that. But I know friends of mine, people who are smarter, people who are far more kind. Sorry, I'm going to tear up here. People who have been very generous with their friendship, who are struggling with debt, and they are very good people, beautiful people. And the fact some of them having $100,000 in debt,
that's insurmountable.
It's insurmountable. And the thing is, what, you can't pay it off? You're stuck in that hole forever.
Yep.
No. No. So, you know, it's a point of, okay, we all know what's wrong. And I, you know what? I think a lot of us, yes, maybe some people signed onto, because you're going to be able to personal responsibility. Yes, there's personal responsibility, but there's also a chance. Can you at least give me a fighting chance to actually maybe pay off that debt to where if it's going to get to the point if it's insurmountable, then what's the point? You might as well put me in jail. You might as well run me over. I might as well ice myself because it's not going to matter because that debt will never go down to zero. Right. So in other words, to these people who are wondering, well, why aren't people believing in politicians or the institutions? It's because they made it so. And I would say to everybody watching, like, you know, if you know a young person want to go to college, pull them aside and tell them, don't do it. If they want to go to college, tell them to wait their time and go overseas where it's affordable or free, or maybe they could pay it off, you know, or either that, just start living your own life, but don't have it connected to the traditional, if you need a college degree, because I got a college degree. When I graduated in 2013, 10 months, I was unemployed. I got resumes back, people saying I was overqualified. And the thing is, like, look, Dr. Nick says, we failed you, Aurelian. Yes, when Aurelian died, that's when the timeline got messed up. That's when the timeline got messed up, when Aurelian died, God's warrior. But yes, when we failed him, that's when the whole timeline. But being serious, getting back on point. There's no social incentive to trust the current institutions.
We
should not be trusting these institutions that cost an arm and a leg. And, you know, if I know any young person that wants to go ahead and go to college, I'm gonna say, like, don't do it. Be free, be debt free. Do not feed the college industrial complex, because you will never be free. So there you go.
Yeah, it's crazy. People go into so much debt to essentially get nowhere further. I mean, I went to a Votech school to become, you know, the automotive technician that I am today. But I mean, it was ridiculous amounts of money. And it's crazy to me that, like, we're supposed to be the greatest country in the world. And I do believe we have the potential to be that. But, you know, just, I know so many great people, like you said, that, oh, I have a roommate because I can't afford to live by myself. Like, man, that fucking blows. Like, and, you know, you and I might disagree on immigration, but, like, when I hear the immigration conversation get brought up, I'm like, I'm just focused on America, man. I just want the people who live here, my friends, my family, to feel like they could save enough money that, like, you know, I'm not going to have to worry about my wife. I want her to stay home with our daughter, and I want, you know, we're going to have more kids. I want everybody in America to basically be able to, like, yeah, I can afford a car. I can afford a house. My wife, she wants to stay home. She could stay home. If she wants to work, we could afford childcare, like all this stuff. If we go, you know, if there's a surgery or something like that, we don't have to go on GoFundMe to fund a medical emergency. Like, just all this stuff to me is just absolutely insane that, like, we have to have this kind of conversation. I had a Jason Smith on the show twice, who lives in China as well. And I remember him telling me, yeah, I went in for back surgery, stayed there for like 2 nights and got out. It was $50 and I moved on. I'm like, oh, man, here? No, you would be bankrupt.
If bankrupt you and surgery. On the street.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Bankrupt and on the streets, the cold streets that don't care.
Yep.
So, you know, and the thing is, like, there's always the people who are just wondering, like, okay, well, when's it my turn? Like, the thing is, you have people struggling with medical problems, medical ailments. And I, you know, just declaring bankruptcy doesn't save anything, because even then you're stuck with, like, it's like, what's the point? What's the point of living if there is no society? And if the society walks over to people, you know, then what's the point? And when I hear about all these labor laws and, you know, these institutions that protect labor and everything else, like, they don't care. No, but no, these it's all designed in a way to where they don't care. They don't like you. They don't think about you. They don't respect you. And that's the problem. And that's where people need to start working together. And I will work with the left and the right. But the problem is the left and right have been so brainwashed into hating each other that they're not looking at the bigger picture. See, it's not the migrant. It's not the poor person. It's not your neighbor. It's not your coworker. The problem is the politicians. That's all it is. And when you put aside your hate and differences, you can actually build a better future. That's if we want to.
Yeah. I definitely think it's there if we want it, man. And I think it does go back to personal responsibility. I know.
Yeah, it does. It does. There's personal responsibility. You know. So that's
Nico and I talked about this a little bit on Sunday, but, like, a lot of people want to outsource these problems and their thinking to other people, but it's like, nah, man, it does start at home. Like you said, there's so many politicians that just get loaded off lobbyists and different interests to push things that clearly aren't, you know, their constituents' interests. And, you know, we see two people come to mind immediately. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie are like the only
MTG,
two people,
you know me.
Yep. That aren't completely owned, lobbied, and paid for. And of course, oh, well, we got to get those people out because they're not signing on to Trump's agenda. It's like, hold up. No, the two people who like aren't bought and paid for and are telling the truth, we need to throw those people out. No, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that like people are even talking about stuff like that. Like, we need people to speak the truth about this stuff, because what else are you to do? Just lie down and, all right, well, I guess this is the way that the country falls apart, is we just let, you know, basically the rich people and the people who are, you know, powerful and connected just kind of pick the corpse. Like, no, I don't think that's a country that we deserve.
Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, you know, it's more of, yeah. Have you seen the Fall of Civilization podcast? Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're familiar with it?
No. I'm sorry. No.
Okay. So the Fall of Civilization podcast, it's a great documentary series. My personal favorite ones is the Mongol one is actually pretty good, but it's like 8 hours. All right. So if you got something to do, or if you're doing some housework, you play in the background, some good stuff. But there's Easter Island, the Bronze Age collapse. But all the stories like are the same, of a nation rising and then falling. And it's always the same. It dies from within. And this is where, again, the heart of the people have to start stepping up. I mean, if we really do care about this dream, this idea of America where we uplift ourselves, the problem isn't some foreign army or a migrant. All right. Yeah. And look, the whole idea of the sanctuary cities here in Chicago is a bad idea, because now Chicago is like $1.1 billion in the red in debt. And when you have our own mayor, there were so many better ways this man could have worded. Oh, we're at the point of no return. It's like, oh, my grandpa's right now coming on down from heaven saying, I told you this was going to happen, Kit. And like, the thing is, if the city's going to die, hey, other towns and municipalities all across the country are going through the same thing too. Maybe not as much as Chicago, but when you have a people give up, that's when the nation dies, and the people have to start stepping up. But the thing is, okay, it is a real reality, and I don't want to be the Debbie Downer here, but you know, we are able to, or at least our government can make the money printer go burr. But I'm wondering, you know, we were supposed to see Fort Knox, we never got the accountability on that. Nope. We're supposed to be getting our economy in line, but inflation's still an issue. Grocery mm-hmm. prices, everything's still not good. So I just want to know, like, overall, politicians, what are you doing to make our lives better? Because at the end of the day, I would encourage everyone, no matter where you politically align, look at who's causing the problems. Not a random person who's struggling like you. It's the people in D.C., in the Capitol. Mm-hmm. Those are the bad guys. Those are the people causing the problems. They can, if they wanted to, they could fix our problems, but they don't want to, because they want us to hate each other. They want us to fight each other. That's what they want us to do. And so far, they've been successful, but one day it ain't going to work. And that's why I say the great bonding moment. Let's put aside our differences, get out that heavy industrial wood chipper, and let's actually do some fun. Okay, people? We can work together. All right. Snows do melt, riverbeds do dry. And that's from HBO's Rome. Great show, but again, season one. Are you threatening the Roman Senate, Mark Antony? Like, no, I'm actually stating a fact. Snows do melt, riverbeds do dry up, and armies march across them. He said a fact. It wasn't a threat. It happens. Like, no, yeah, snows melt, riverbeds do dry up. And armies got to march across it somehow, across the Rubicon.
Yeah. Man, maybe I should entitle the show that.
Oh, Crossing the Rubicon? Yeah, no, dude. Hey, if you want to do a podcast Crossing the Rubicon, let's do it.
Nice. Well, Kit, we're running up on about an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. It's getting late over here, and I want to go mess with the daughter and the wife a little bit. They might be sleeping right now, but I got to check on them. But we'll of course talk a few minutes off air. Why don't you let everybody know what you got going on, where everybody could find you. And I know you had something that you really wanted to plug. So give all that and we'll wrap her up.
Okay. No problem. First of all, Hard Lens Media. We are live every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Central, YouTube, Kick, X, Rumble. We're also on Can TV as well. I actually got to be putting up some content on Can TV as well. But we are an independent media, 8 years strong. We also have an X page, Substack, Discord, Instagram, Facebook. So all that kind of good stuff. And as always, you know, I'm trying to do the show the best I can. However, we also have set up a GoFundMe as well. And I see a lot of my viewing audience members in here, and maybe some of your new people can help share it out too. But our GoFundMe, we are in a fight of our lives, and any support and solidarity, people sharing with groups, allies, organizations, anybody to help us build up our legal defense. You know, our main purpose is actually to pay our lawyer fees and pay our legal fees so that, you know, we can continue, you know, getting out of this nightmare. It's taken a personal toll on me, my family, you know, and it's been a nightmare. And I want it to end. And the only way we can end this is if we actually have the funds necessary to push forward. And I think we have to raise like 50,000, a little bit, maybe even higher than that, unfortunately. And it's a painful thing to ask and to do. And I see some of my viewing members saying, yes, we stand in solidarity. I also forgot to mention my Kick channel as well. Yes, we're live on Kick. So thank you for mentioning that, Dr. Nick. Kick is doing great. To anyone who can help out with our GoFundMe, you'll see our full story there. And if you could share it on your social media, share our story, help us out, we'd be greatly appreciative. And we're praying for better days ahead. And I could swear on this, you know, those who have helped me, I will find a way to pay you back and help you out as well. And all I ask is that this nightmare does come to an end. It's a legal fight for our lives, and better days ahead, brother.
Of course. Yeah, I've donated and I've shared it out to the best of my ability. So I definitely recommend everybody go support you, Kit, because it's awful what's going on. So people can kind of go see the situation. And, you know, I have the link below to all your stuff and obviously the Gifts and Go as well. So everybody, make sure you go over there. And yeah, Kit, your crew that came in the chat, I absolutely love them. I adore them. I hope they come back for future shows. And obviously, you know, we'll have to do future collaborations as well, because, I think we got a good thing going here, and it's always cool to talk to new people and, collaborate with people who come from different backgrounds, different perspectives. And mm-hmm. I think this show is definitely emblematic of that. So Kit, if you got any final thoughts, they're all yours.
Final thoughts. Okay. First of all, I don't think we had a chance to touch on this, but first of all, I know right now there's a lot of drama surrounding the Kick streamer whose life ended on that stream. Rest in peace to him. Again, maybe it's best we just, again, the videos, don't watch them if you're not prepared for it. The one video that still stays with me is when his mother called him begging him to stop. All right. And that made me call my mom just before I did the show and say, hey, mom, I love you. Roblox people, listen, we did 5 videos. Those videos have been so suppressed, and I've been sharing them with all my friends and families who are parents and everything else. Please share the Roblox story and make everyone be aware of what's happening here. Protect your family. Protect your community. Love each other. Let us build a better future, and let us just work together. And if you're on the left or on the right, I will work with you. Let's just try and make better days ahead. It doesn't have to be this way. We don't have to hate each other. We can actually work together. And I promise you, once the bad guys are gone, a Kit Cabello guarantee, we'll go right back to fighting each other. It'll be great. But one moment, let's work together. It'll be great. It'll be awesome. And then we go right back to fighting. It'll all be great. Just trust the plan. It'll work.
There it is. Kit, it was awesome, man. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.